Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, February 7th, coming up today.
Wall Street braces for key remarks from Fed Chair Jay Powell.
BP becomes the latest oil giant to post record profits.
President Biden gets set to deliver his State of the Union tonight.
And the U.S. begins to recover parts from the suspected Chinese spy balloon.
I'm Amy Morris. A person of interest is in custody in connection with the shooting of an off-duty NYPD officer. And the city is ending one of its workplace vaccination rules.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets now without Kyrie Irving, lost at home to the Clippers. Victories for the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
The direction of markets today could take cues from the Fed. Friday's big jobs report appears to have changed views on what the central bank will do this year. And today, Chair Jay Powell weighs in, taking questions at the Economic Club of Washington. Bloomberg's Michael McKee will be there and has a preview.
Going into Friday's jobs report, the narrative was the Fed chair hadn't pushed back hard enough on markets pricing rate cuts later this year. The payroll report may have done that for him. If job growth is strong and hours worked are rising, that's a lot more money in consumers' pockets available to spend. And at least according to the Fed's Phillips curve model, that means inflation will be stickier. Powell gets another chance to make that point when he sits down with David Rubenstein, host of Bloomberg TV's Peer to Peer and David Rubenstein shows at the Washington Economic Club. Expect him to say the Fed will stay the course, raising rates one or two more times and holding them throughout the year. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. And stay with us for complete coverage of Powell's comments. We will bring them to you live on Bloomberg Radio and television around 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, Nathan, markets are holding steady ahead of those remarks from Powell. Lori Calvasina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets, thinks the worst may be behind us.
I would be surprised at this point in time if we were to retest or really even, you know, break below those October lows, because I think the market has still got enough evidence that the soft landing thesis is intact for now. I mean, we are, I think, coming up on the point when we'll have most of the earnings downgrades in, and traditionally that's a clearing event for markets. So I think there's risk to the downside, but I think the bears have kind of overstayed their welcome and over-articulated their case.
Lori Calvasina of RBC Capital Markets sees the S&P 500 ending the year around 4,100.
On the earnings front this morning, Karen, shares of BP are up 3.5%. The UK companies joined other energy giants in posting a record profit for 2022. Now, BP CEO Bernard Looney tells us he's looking to reinvest that capital.
We're actually announcing that we're going to increase investment in the energy transition by about $8 billion this decade. And at the same time, we're going to increase investment in today's energy system, which is predominantly oil and gas, by about $8 billion as well.
CEO Bernard Looney says BP is boosting its dividend and will buy back an extra $2.7 billion in shares.
Shares of BNP Paribas are up almost 2%. The French bank says it plans to buy back almost $5.5 billion in stock. The move comes after BNP posted a quarter that beat many Wall Street peers.
All right, let's turn now to the major political event of the night, Karen. President Biden's State of the Union address. The president's speech is expected to call for a new minimum tax on billionaires and a tax on stock buybacks. Wendy Schiller, director of Brown University's Taubman Center for American Politics and Policy, says the economy will likely be a key theme tonight.
You have to spend a lot of time talking about what is working well in the economy and also counteracting a theme that's been ever present in mainstream and social media for more than 6 months, 8 months, that there will be a recession, there is a recession. And the layoffs in the tech industry, which sort of overexpanded, are the big headlines, but are there layoffs in other major industries that affect more Americans? That's the thing that Biden has to reassure about.
Brown University political scientist Wendy Schiller. And listen for live coverage of tonight's State of the Union on a special edition of Bloomberg's Balance of Power. It starts tonight at 8:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, ahead of tonight's speech, Nathan, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has delivered one of his own with a focus on the debt ceiling.
President Biden wants Congress to raise the debt limit yet again without a single sensible change to how government spends your hard-earned money. None. Does that sound responsible to you?
Speaker McCarthy says he wants to negotiate with the president on a responsible debt limit increase with no lines in the sand. After the speech, he said he will draw the line on one issue. He's ruling out tax increases.
Turning to geopolitics and national security, the White House says it's looking forward to getting whatever data are recovered from the Chinese balloon downed in the Atlantic. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It says recovery efforts are in full swing. Spokesman John Kirby says they aren't worried about any lost intelligence to China at this point and says this is not their first dance with a balloon, some dating back to the Trump administration.
At least on three occasions, surveillance balloons by the PRC transited U.S. airspace. I will say that from every indication that we have, that was for brief periods of time.
Kirby says they hope to find out how high up the China leadership food chain decisions were made. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. There's plenty the U.S. officials can learn from what's left of the balloon. That's according to Mark Esper, who served as Secretary of Defense under President Trump.
Is the instrumentation made of U.S. parts or allied parts? Right. It would tell us where they're sourcing their the engineering stuff for the system. So we can learn a whole lot from this package once we get it ashore and able to kind of pick through it in close detail.
Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper says President Biden made the right call shooting it down over water, but he also says the president could have done it sooner over Alaska. Esper spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio or anytime wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Bloomberg.
It is 30 degrees in Central Park. We'll have sunshine with clouds building this afternoon, going up to near 45 degrees. Some showers possible tonight as we head down to around 40. Time now to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Rescue teams from overseas began deploying in Turkey after a pair of powerful earthquakes killed at least 4,000 people in both Turkey and Syria. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration has been working with their counterparts in Turkey to provide assistance.
The president authorized an immediate U.S. response in addition to the U.S. personnel currently on the ground. We are in the process of deploying additional teams to support Turkish search and rescue efforts.
Turkey's President Erdogan says as Turkey is facing the strongest disaster in a century, and the country has declared 7 days of mourning. A person of interest is in custody for the alleged shooting of an off-duty NYPD officer Saturday night in Brooklyn. Channel 4 reports police tracked down a 38-year-old man in Rockland County. That shooting happened when the 26-year-old NYPD officer from Deer Park arranged to buy a car off Facebook Marketplace. But when he arrived, the person he was meeting opened fire. The officer was shot in the head, remains in grave condition. New York City is ending one of its last workplace vaccination mandates. Mayor Eric Adams says city workers will no longer be required to get vaccinated. Adams says the mandate, which led to the firing of hundreds of city workers who declined to get the shots, will end on Friday. Adams says more than 96% of city employees and more than 80% of city residents have gotten their initial vaccine series. The city ended its vaccine requirement for employees of private businesses in November of 2022. Masks are now optional in most public places, including subways and buses. There's pushback against Mayor Adams' mental health plan. During yesterday's hearing, Councilman Charles Barron said he feared it would lead to more physical altercations between the police and the mentally ill.
This is a dangerous proposition that you're presenting here. If we don't do something about getting peer intervention more than you, I'm fearful that there'll be more death.
Yesterday's hearing focused on the plan implemented a few months ago, ordering first responders to take anyone with serious mental issues off the streets into the hospital, even if the patient refuses. A former staffer who worked for embattled New York Congressman George Santos has resigned. Mario Nicoletto tells ABC why he left his job as a Queens District Office staff member.
As the allegations and the documents came out, that it did not bode well for the congressman, obviously. I had to take a step away. That's just a decision, again, I made for my family, for myself, and for my, my community and my friends.
Mario Nicoletto says 72% of residents in Santos District want him to resign, which he says is unprecedented and sad. Global News, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. The Nets will miss Kyrie Irving's talent on the court. They will not miss the drama he provided off of it the day after his trade to Dallas. Nets, host of the LA Clippers, the new Nets, Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith were not yet with the team. Cam Thomas played. He scored 44 points last Saturday, and he scored 47 last night, but the Clippers won 124-116, so good trip to New York for them with wins over the Knicks and Nets. Knicks play tonight in Orlando. Also from the NBA, the sale of the Phoenix Suns to real estate magnate Matt Ishbia approved unanimously. Hockey back to the All-Star break. Rangers and Flames. A couple of goals for Philip Hedl, and then two by Mika Zibanejad. 4-4 in overtime.
Mangiapane going for the goal. Cabri shoots! And that hit Mangiapane as he flops across the front.
Sportsnet in Canada, the call, the Alexei Lafreniere game winner. Just as the Rangers were winning 5-4 in overtime at the Garden, the Devils won 5-4 in OT in Newark, beating Vancouver. Jack Hughes, two more goals for New Jersey. He's got 35 on the year. Islanders won 2-1 at Philadelphia. College hoops, Duke was coming off the big win over North Carolina, but got blown out at Miami. Kansas beat Texas, a battle of top 10 teams. They finished the weather-delayed golf at Pebble Beach. 42-year-old Justin Rose had the lead, lost it, then came back. Got his first tournament win in 4 years. Tom Brady said he won't be a Fox Sports announcer next season. He'll start the 10-year, $375 million gig in 2024. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. On a day when two major speeches are in focus for markets, Fed Chair Jerome Powell speaks in Washington this afternoon, and then tonight, President Biden delivers his second State of the Union address. The message he intends to send: inflation is trending lower and jobs are on the rise. Top White House economic advisor Brian Deese is hammering that message home.
Even as we've seen real progress in inflation coming down over the last 6 months in particular, we have more work to do to bring prices down, lower costs, and create some breathing room, as he says, for American families.
National Economic Council Director Brian Deese. And this morning, we are joined by Terry Haynes, the founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, good morning. It seems as though when you look at the polls, the president has some work to do as well on bringing that message to Americans that the economy is working. Why do you think it hasn't been delivered in the way that the president might like up to this point?
Good morning, Nathan. And yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it? One of the ways that the president's been talking about this speech is the opportunity to make our case, quote unquote. And usually making your case comes before enacting policies instead of afterwards. They don't get a lot of credit. And and they get a in for the good things. They get a lot of credit for the angst, and to some extent, I think that's the lot of presidents everywhere. But in part, it's because Biden has not really been at the forefront of pushing individual policies or getting them put together through negotiations, and really has been at the forefront of kind of presenting them in a unified way as things that he's doing to make life better.
Do you expect that to change as we head through the second half of the president's term at a time when you could presumably be focusing on a reelection campaign?
Well, I think he's already starting to do that. Yeah. You know, they clearly want to be able to take credit for what they can take credit for. And, you know, that's as old as the presidency. But they will start making their case, and already have, as you know, more work to be done. But we've done all these things so far, even though what they've done is, you know, really put the Fed into place and, you know, given the Fed the responsibility for attacking inflation and putting together this Inflation Reduction Act, which really doesn't do much. The signals from the speech so far really are that he's going to focus on proposing things that are red meat for the base, like stock buybacks and the like, that won't get enacted, as opposed to things that might be enactable. So, net-net, you're not going to see much more in terms of push from the Biden administration on things that will actually mitigate inflation and make the lives better for average Americans.
And ahead of the speech, we heard from House Speaker Kevin McCarthy putting the debt ceiling back in focus. How much is the ongoing and looming fight over the nation's debt limit overshadowing tonight's address?
There's a lot of things overshadowing tonight's address. The Chinese balloon, for one, of course, and that brings up all kinds of issues and problems relating to the national security and national defense. My view of this has been that where the debt ceiling resolution finally comes from in the summertime is probably from centrists. To boil it down, you're looking much more at a kind of Senate centrist, House centrist, kind of Joe Manchin-ish kind of play than you are by having Biden and McCarthy actually resolve things. And I think that's ultimately where this goes. Nothing that either President Biden or Speaker McCarthy says this week is going to move the needle on debt ceiling, because both of them think there's political advantage in stringing this thing out as long as possible, frankly. So we're going to get some brinksmanship that is finally in the summertime, I think, in our royal markets a little bit.
In our last minute here, Terry, given all the attention on the Chinese balloon this week, how much do you expect the president to take a tougher line on China in this address, given all the moves that he's made up to now on the economic front against China?
I think what you'll hear from the president is kind of a recitation of all the things that have happened so far, both from a national security perspective and from an economic perspective, chips, manufacturing, reshoring, and all those sorts of things. The administration, but more importantly, I think the defense establishment, have a lot of questions to answer. Listeners shouldn't miss that what is going on with the balloon now isn't so much a, you know, Biden versus Trump whataboutism, but what it is has to do with whether the defense establishment ever identified these things back in the day and what they're doing about them now.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.